Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from our virtual studio. We're not back inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, but we're looking forward to that. The folks at Renaissance are busy right now, and they're busy helping small businesses with a lot of their needs, including second round PPP. And here's what my suggestion to you is, folks, if you like the big bank experience of where you're at right now, and you like automated voices, and you like 1-800 numbers and all that kind of stuff, and you don't want to really want to talk to a real person, don't go to Renaissance Bank. But if that's what you're looking for in terms of better service, if you're looking for personal service, Renaissance is big enough, I have found personally, to be handle your needs small enough to do it in a personal way. So go to renaissancebank.com, find their local office, some 200 across the South ready to serve you, and give them a call and go make an appointment and go see them. And I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. Now I want to welcome John Fitzpatrick. John is the president and CEO of Force Marketing. John, welcome.
Thanks for having me, John.
Great to have you. So tell us about you and Force Marketing. How are you serving folks out there?
Yeah, so Force Marketing is a marketing technology business. We specialize in the auto industry. We work with car dealers all over the country. For those that don't realize, there's actually 17,000 new franchise dealers all over the U.S., and only about 1,000 of those stores are owned by the big publicly traded brands like AutoNation and Penske. So there's 16,000 small business owners, probably like a lot of your listeners, that have anywhere from 1 to 10 stores in their local market, and we help them get more efficient with their advertising and marketing spend, and also get more personalized in their communication to their consumers. And we've been doing that for the last 15, 16 years.
Wow. Congratulations on surviving a lot of ups and downs over time. That's awesome.
Yeah, two crises, right? We saw the financial one hit early on in our lifetime from a business perspective, and didn't think we'd see something like that again. And then obviously saw something totally different, but equally as impactful last year. So thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of good people in the business that have allowed us to weather that. We leaned on the great culture. So
that's terrific. That's terrific. Now, why are you involved in the automotive space? I mean, you've got a personal connection there, I think, right?
Yeah, that's right. I really grew up in the store. I was the kid on the golf cart driving around my dad's lot. He had a long career in auto, still in many cases does. And so I got to see through his lens as an operator, a general manager of big volume stores, mostly in the Southeast. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That's also where AutoNation, which is our country's largest retailer, is located. In the late 90s, early 2000s, he joined the executive team there and helped start AutoNation and build that brand up. And so through the corporate lens, but also through the retail, you know, dealership lens, sort of through him, I got to learn a lot about the business. And you know, one of the things that I saw alive and well as an opportunity from a business perspective would be to drive efficiencies in the advertising and marketing of each dealership. And I understood that there was a lack of data and technology being used, lack of personalization. As many of you may have experienced buying your car. There's nothing more frustrating than, you know, when you buy a car from a dealer and 2 months later, they're asking you to trade your car in. And you're like, I just traded my car in to you, actually. And now you're telling me to come back in. It's disconnected. And that's a problem, right? I mean, especially in today's world where we expect our retailers to know a lot about us and to properly communicate with us. We've been very, very focused on helping dealers, evolve that dealer to customer shopping experience. And that's what our tech does. It's what our services piece does. And And so, you know, we feel like we're helping in a big way in that category.
You mentioned how auto dealers are a lot of them are small business owners. And I would imagine they have the same issue that other small business owners have when it comes to marketing themselves. A lot of what they might do before you intervene, I'll say, is maybe seat of the pants. I mean, as you say, it's not based on data and the results that come from that data.
Yeah, it's getting a lot better. Don't get me wrong, but there is still an element of spray and pray. And you know, the there's usually a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right? When it comes to the marketing and the advertising of a business, right? And that's no different in a dealership environment. There's also a lot of our dealer partners are family owned and operated and have been for decades, right? The grandfather, the great grandfather made us open the first location, and now they have 20 locations and it's the grandson really running the show. And so, but you know, granddad is still involved and dad is still involved, and there may be some siblings involved. And so, you know, and I know a lot of business owners see this. And so there tends to be a lot of opinions. And different people want to try different things, and then they have different relationships with different marketing agencies or marketing partners that claim that they can come in and help, you know, drive a business need. And so what happens is there's just a fragmented communication channel, and they're trying different things that will work, and oftentimes that just leads to a poor experience for the consumer. And so what we're really built around is dialing into a dealer's first party data, the data that they already sit on, that they understand who they've sold and serviced cars to for the, you know, for decades. I mean, it's very, very often that a dealer partner of ours has been in operation literally for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We'll only go back 7 years. We've recognized that is the most rich data going back only about 7 years. So, and we'll really understand, you know, who has done business with them in the past, and we segment out those audiences, and then we, you know, we put in place products and solutions so that they can, in a more personalized way, better communicate with their past customers and then their prospective customers as well. And so a lot of that is eliminating some of those cooks in the kitchen. And sometimes that's not easy, but at the end of the day, it's what's best for the business. And we bring in strategy, and we bring in goals and outcomes that they're looking to achieve. You know, oftentimes, John, and I'm sure your listeners know this, you can get distracted in today's digital marketing environment, focusing on, you know, funnel metrics like cost per click or bounce rate or, time on site. And those are important metrics. But the metrics that are most important are the ones that are driving your business forward. And in our case, it is sales of new and used vehicles and what we call ROs, which are repair orders. How many repair orders is the service lane producing? And really, we stay connected to the outcome. So when we have an advertising spend, we tie it to cost per dealership, a cost per vehicle sold, or a cost per vehicle serviced. And so, you know, anybody that's listening that owns a business, I would say, even if you're not a car dealer, what we have found in auto is tying it to the outcome that you're looking to generate, regardless of the advertising and marketing expense, in our opinion, and what we have seen over some time now, is the best way to anchor your strategy.
So talk a little bit about, What are the first steps when you engage with a new client? Talk about how that works and how, you know, I'm interested in hiring you to overhaul my marketing. How do you engage with me, and what are kind of some of the first steps in changing what I'm up to?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we are solely focused on the auto category. So sure. You have to be a new car dealer to want to speak with us. However, I think we look at things in a way in which many top end marketing and advertising, certainly technology driven ones, look at things, and that's the connectivity to data, right? How much data can you get your hands around? And then there's a component to data, which is not all data is perfectly clean. In fact, most is not. Most data sets are not perfectly clean. So you got to go through a cleansing process to figure out of the data you're collecting, you know, out of your CRM or out of your management system, you know, how much of that is still relevant and how much of that needs to sort of been thrown out. You can also connect in almost any category with third party data sets that'll give you an idea of the prospects in your market. And certainly any of the partners at Facebook or Google or Bing or YouTube can help with that with their tools so that you can be prospecting the right folks. But our focus is to connect our tech to their data centers in a dealership, you know, clean the data, normalize it, and then start audience segmentation. And so in our world, a different audience set might look like a purchase buyer of a car versus a lease buyer. Those are two different buyers, right? They're both buying a car, but they go about it differently. One's focused on the total vehicle value. The other one's very focused on a payment value. And can they afford the monthly payment, you know, versus, you know, do I want to bring the MSRP of the car as low as possible? And so, you know, knowing that, and by the way, there's a lot of other audience sets, right? I was just giving you one example, but understanding how to bucket those folks, you can then figure out how to better communicate with each audience segmentation set in a more personalized, more data-driven way, right? We're going to take all of our lease buyers and we're going to first see when is their lease expiring. You know, if it's 3 to 6 months up, let's remind them that it is. Let's remind them that with current Ford incentives, they can lower their monthly payment and get top dollar for their trade. Let's not do that every day, though. Let's do that when it's relevant to the consumer. And I know that I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you've either gotten an email or a mail piece in your mailbox, and it was totally irrelevant to where you were in the life cycle ownership of your vehicle, and it frustrates you. And we are looking to eliminate that. That's waste ad dollars for the dealer. That's a poor customer experience for the consumer. And that might give them an opportunity to start looking to another brand or another dealer in their hyperlocal marketplace. And so if we can improve that, we know that we can improve their business in a big way. And that's what that's sort of what we've been focused on. A small example, but think about that across a lot of different audience segments and a lot of different channels, right? We're focused on omni-channel too. So while digital is important in auto, for example, the average person spends a little over 70 days from the start of searching for the right vehicle till the actual purchase. So that's a long journey. JD Power has told us that across those 70 days, they're spending more than 14 hours online alone, educating themselves and trying to figure out the right price, the right financing, the right trade-in value. And so if we can understand that the consumer is operating and interacting with this purchase across an omni-channel experience, they're not just going to Google, right? It's part of it, but they're also going to Facebook. They're also watching video at an increasing rate, especially when you see the cord cutting and where linear TV has gone, right? The opportunity to connect with audiences and streaming media is incredible. Mail and email is still effective if handled the right way. Text marketing is increasingly in our surveys what consumers would rather, how they would rather communicate once they've identified the right retail partner. So, you know, understanding that omni-channel sort of path to purchase is really important as well. And so we look for all of that, and that's where the strategy comes from. It's all data-driven. It's all omni-channel driven. And then we will figure out the right budget and then go from there and then constantly optimize. That's the other thing, right? Don't set and forget a budget. You need to be optimizing based on the results every single week if you could, but certainly every month and every quarter. So probably more than you wanted, but that's sort of how we think about things. And that's how I think a lot of folks, when they're attacking their advertising and marketing, should be thinking about, you know, a data-driven omni-channel approach to connecting with their consumers.
Well, if you're interested in return on investment, you're going to be doing that, right? I mean, that's really the whole point is working off what the data tells you and then going from there. And that's what you're specializing in. That's great work. John Fitzpatrick is with us, folks, and he is with Force Marketing. He's the president and CEO of Force Marketing. So another key metric of long-term success is, being able to make acquisitions. You just announced one. So, and it's your first one, right?
It's our first one, right?
Awesome.
You got to get that one right. And don't mess that one up.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited. I mean, it was actually, as acquisitions go, even if you do them really well, they can be messy. And this one was sort of simple in the sense that the culture was an immediate fit. The culture they've been building out in Houston, Texas, GSM is the name of the company. Prior to shortening to GSM, they were GS Marketing. They've been in business for 33 years, built a phenomenal culture. You know, we were having interviews with their leadership team who had been there for 17 years and 22 years, and then the folks that work underneath them, 8 and 12 and so on and so forth. And so we knew there was something special there. Oftentimes when you got a great culture, you've got happy clients. And so when we dug into the clients, they were, you know, really happy. They were brand enthusiasts to them. They were well connected to the business. They felt that their relationship with GSM was absolutely helping move their business forward. And so all the things checked out. And then, you know, the seller was motivated for a lot of the right reasons. And we just came to the table and said, look, here's our vision. Here's what we're trying to build out. They filled a gap for us in that they are focused on fixed ops marketing, which in our world, that stands for the service, parts, and accessories of a dealership. And they had built great tech around connecting with consumers in the same way that I had just laid out, but all on the fixed ops side of our business, which really connects the consumer lifecycle ownership. I mean, there's a stat that we knew about, and this is why we were focused on finding a fixed ops marketing company in auto, which was if a dealer sells you a car and they earn your first service appointment and you don't go to a Jiffy Lube or take your car somewhere else, you take it back to the dealership, that dealer is 7 times more likely to earn your second vehicle purchase. That's how important the service business is to their overall business. That's how important it is to connecting the life cycle ownership of a vehicle from a consumer standpoint. So we knew that if our products and solutions could also tie in to what we call the back end of the dealership, the fixed ops, the parts, service, and accessories, we would also improve the customer loyalty for the dealer, which would drive down the cost per acquisition. And so this was a very intentional, pragmatic purchase for us. We thought long and hard. We looked at the space for about 18 months. Obviously, we took a nice long pause with COVID because there wasn't much M&A work being had in last Q2. And everyone was just kind of hanging on and then recovering from their businesses. But then when that unthawed a little bit, we said, okay, now the time might be right to have some conversations. And sure enough, it was. And we, from start to finish, we closed the deal in 48 days. So, I mean, as M&A goes, that's extremely quick. It just pointed to how well fit this was for us. So we couldn't be more excited about our new family in Houston, Texas, and the great work that they're doing. We will keep the brand alive and well because they got great brand equity in our space. And now we're talking to our industry in terms of our family of brands at Force Marketing that can help them both at the front end of the dealership, helping them sell new and used vehicles, as well as the back end fixed ops. So really excited about this first one.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, I heard a lot of things there, but closing an acquisition in 48 days is amazing. And says something about, that was, I guess, meant to be, right? So
I think so. And fit, right? There was great sellers. We worked really well together. We were able to make it simple and make it clear. And we both stayed committed to that. And, you know, oftentimes in business, especially when there's a sale of a business, that can be tough to maintain. And we were able to do it. And that's why we were able to close. We were able to sort of cut out the nonsense. By the way, those 48 days were across Christmas and New Year's. So we had a bunch of holidays in there. Mm. I first met them in the beginning of December. We ended up closing January 31st. So very, very quick.
Wow. So talk about the, you mentioned their culture. You're always interested in making sure your culture is, as the acquirer, is not only preserved but enhanced. Talk about your efforts there.
Yeah. So that's what we're focused on right now is the full integration, right? Making sure that the tech is integrated well, the people are integrated well. The beauty about this particular acquisition is there was almost no overlap from our current operations to this new operations. There was also a phenomenal leadership team out there in Houston, like I said, that had been there for quite some time. They stayed on. That was an important part of the deal for us because we're not doing away with the brand. We have no intentions whatsoever. We also didn't want to do away with any of the great people or any of the great clients. It was literally just, hey, keep running your play, which will allow us plenty of runway to figure out integration. Integration is usually the toughest piece. And because we didn't have to rush into integration, and we still don't, we're taking our time. My big word that I'm using in our leadership meetings is controlled growth. Because obviously the buzz of an acquisition, you got a lot of hand raisers that want to jump in and, you know, test the products out, the new products that you have together. And we're just saying, hey, we're putting a short list together. But when the time's right, that's when we'll do that. There's no reason to force, no pun intended here, you know, this integration. Let's make sure that GSM can run and handle their clients the way their clients have become accustomed to. Let's make sure that Force and their brands can handle it. And then over a very intentional time frame, we will work on integration. So we're being extremely thoughtful around the integration of the companies because what I have seen in my learnings of M&A, that's really where the magic is. Once you get beyond signature and you figure out how accretive is this acquisition, it's usually in and around how well you operated an integration plan and how intentional you were with it. And so we are being extremely intentional, and I think for the right reasons.
Good words here from John Fitzpatrick, folks. He is the president and CEO of Force Marketing. John, you know, I have to get back to that question I'm tired of asking and people are tired of answering, which is business impact related to the pandemic. What does that look like for you?
Oh, well, first it was brutal, right? Like one of the first things that anybody does is say, pause or stop all of the marketing, right? We all do it. And whatever that dollar number is, take it to zero when something like the pandemic, you know, a global pandemic takes place. And same thing was true in the financial crisis. So we fielded about 1,000 calls from dealers all over the country from about March 10th to March 20th saying, pause everything. The good news was, if there was any at that moment when you're fielding all those calls, was no one was canceling. They were just like, whoa, put everything on pause. Now we're a tech business, so you pay a tech fee and then a percent of the media that runs through the tech. So when there's $0 running through the tech, they're also asking for a zero tech fee. So the business was incredibly impacted. And it was like a light switch. It was, you know, it felt like it was overnight. And so the question was, what do you do? And we over communicated with our team. We did, you know, what a lot of business owners had to do. Some, you know, some folks got furloughed, other folks took temporary pay cuts, and we sort of just were in full communication every other day. Here's what we've learned. Here's what we're going to do. We put a contingency plan together. We got incredible buy-in around the table from our clients. We were reminding them why to hang on. No one's canceling us. We had zero clients cancel us in the months of March, April, May, and June. You know, every business has some degree of churn. You have clients that leave you for whatever reason. We had zero. It was, they just needed a partner that would hang on and get through. And I think we saw this across a lot of categories. And we were able to just put a contingency plan together that would financially get us through. We had our folks lean into it. And then when it expired, we had a plan to sort of get everyone back to normal, if you will. Although, unfortunately, even though the marketing dollars flipped off like a light switch, they have been coming back like a dial and a slow dial. And so dollars are just coming back sort of, okay, let's put, you know, more dollars into play. Okay, let's put more dollars into play. And that has been, you know, something we've had to sort of work through. But again, very, very small cancellations, you know, single digits, one hand, you can count the number of rooftops that have canceled us in the last 12 months. Majority of them are, we have stronger partnerships than ever before because now we've gone through a crisis together. So there's a lot of love and respect there on both sides. And same thing with the culture internally. And so now that we're looking at, you know, an incredibly strong car market, profitability for dealers is higher than it's been in decades. And you know, when you have when your clients are making money, that's good for the business. That's great for the business that you might have. And so now we're in a really good spot. The timing of everything, especially our first acquisition, couldn't really be better. And I think by and large, at least in the auto category, we seem to be beyond COVID-19 from a business perspective.
That's great. Now, what do you see ahead for automotive dealership marketing? What does that look like here in 2021 and going forward?
Well, I think that anytime there's a crisis like there was, it opens everyone's eyes, right? And that's sort of the blessing in disguise of moments like this. Certainly, you know, a lot of people lost their lives and have been greatly affected by the tragedy that was COVID-19. But from a business lens, most businesses that were able to survive have gotten better that I've seen and that I've read about, and because they're really focused on you know, not just the top line revenue dollar, but how much of that makes it to the bottom line of their, you know, in their pocketbooks. And that's an important metric for business owners to always stay aware of. And we saw it in auto as well. And so to answer your question, I think there will be less spraying and praying because there's going to be less dollars that go into marketing and advertising. It was already inflated. Dealers hopefully will continue to fine tune that that area of their business, that line item, that budget for marketing and advertising, and make sure they're better connected with their consumers. And that's something we've been preaching for 15, 16 years. It's some of the clients that are still with us since day one understand that we drive a lot of value in that category of their business. But I think by and large, dealers will become better communicators of their brand promise in their hyper-local markets and realize that it's not about the $499, you know, offer on the, you know, vehicle. It's oftentimes about all of the other things they're doing in the community, how their brand resonates with their local market, how they communicate through all of the channels that I discussed. And if there's proper personalization in those communication channels relevant to where the consumer, meeting the consumer where they are in their journey, they have a higher degree of earning the business. And I think that's one thing we all learned. And I certainly see it in auto. So I think you'll see better communications from our dealer partners in all these markets, as a result of, the pandemic.
So, John, this has been great and lots of great news and progress and success from you. Congratulations on that. What does the future look like for the company itself? And do you have any more acquisitions that maybe are on the horizon? What does that trajectory look like for you?
Well, we're focused on the first one first, but look, we've been looking at this space for the last 2 years as an opportunity to consolidate. It's extremely fragmented, not just on the dealer side, but on the vendor side. There is a big opportunity for future M&A opportunities for Force. There likely will be. But right now, we're very focused on full integration of GSM and making sure that this works. So nothing immediate. And the future for Force really, you know, is never been brighter. Everybody that works within our organization has learned that through this acquisition, we're able to fly higher and fly faster. And when you're able to do that, there's opportunity all over the place. And we've always been that way. We would prefer, create career opportunities and advancement opportunities internally before we try to find a net new person. We very much believe that the folks that have already been committed to the business and have been trained up on the business should get the opportunity to grow with the business as the business grows. That's always been sort of part of our culture. And now that's just that's just accelerated, right? When you go through growing inorganically by way of M&A. So great opportunity for the folks in Houston with GSM, great opportunity for the folks in Atlanta and everywhere else that that we've got about 20, 25% of our employees are, you know, in various states and various markets working from their home. And then we also have a small satellite office up in New York City. So across the board, there's opportunity and we're excited about that. And so are they.
That's awesome. John Fitzpatrick, folks, the president, CEO, founder of Force Marketing. John, this has been great. And I know that there are some folks out there that may want to be in touch. So let's get to the most important question. How can they do that? How can they be in touch and connect with you?
Well, if you go to our website, forcemarketing.com or forcemktg.com, you can get to any of our brands, our technology business. We're hiring developers, Helix Technologies. It's drivehelix.com. GSM is gsmarketing.com out of Houston if you're in the Houston area. We've got obviously the Force brand that'll get you to any of them. And then WeDriveAuto.com, WeDrive Automotive is our brand that specializes in text, email, and mail. It's the nurturing part of the consumer experience where you're reminding them the different offers that you have at a dealership and sort of pulling the levers, when you see them come up. And so, in any of those brands, we have opportunities right now. So we would welcome that. I think there's a career section of the homepage on Force Marketing that they can go to that's just labeled "Join Us," and we hope that many of your listeners that are looking for career advancement and career opportunities will do just that.
John Fitzpatrick, folks, with Force Marketing. John, it's been a pleasure. Congratulations on your success, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder, if you've got administrative tasks in your business that you need to get off your plate, that you need to let somebody else handle so you can handle important things like customer service and building your revenue, my suggestion is go check out Office Angels. OfficeAngels.us, operated by Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo. They handle administrative tasks, bookkeeping, other items that you as an owner shouldn't really be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And Essie has angels that fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis, and they do it virtually. So, you know, a pandemic does not scare them in any way or change what they do. So you can go to officeangels.us, or my suggestion is just give Essie a call. 770-442-9246. First, tell her I suggested you call her, and I'm suggesting this, by the way, because I use her services, and explain what your problem is, and Essie will talk out a good solution for you. 770-442-9246, Essie Escobedo at Office Angels. And folks, as we wrap up, just a quick reminder that we are on all the major podcast apps. You can find us on all of them, Apple, Google, Spotify, what have you. And just search North Fulton Business Radio on any of those apps. When you find the show, we would love it if you would give us a 5-star review. Now, it's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. It's about great folks like John Fitzpatrick and Force Marketing and all the other 300 and over 600 guests that we've had over the last almost 5 years in about 335 or whatever shows. So that's what we would love it if you would do, because it helps folks find the show, so it they'll find the great guests that we've had. And you can connect with us on social media, North Fulton BRX on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and probably some other ones I don't know about. So there you go. So for my guest, John Fitzpatrick, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.